Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
New Zealanders living with cystic fibrosis have recently relieved a sense of relief thanks to the approval of funding the Trifecta drug. The drug will treat the underlying causes of the disease, but has been largely unattainable due to its high costs until now. This and much more was covered in TVR's last chat with Health Minister Andrew Little for this year.
This week, Pharmac has reached a provisional agreement with the medicine supplier Vertex to fund Trikafta, a life-extending drug for those with cystic fibrosis. What does this mean for New Zealanders living with cystic fibrosis?
Trikafta is, they describe it as a breakthrough drug. So for people with cystic fibrosis who are much more susceptible to ongoing respiratory infections, chest infections, often having to go to hospital, and just suffering the consequences of cystic fibrosis, difficulty breathing, this radically transforms their lives, means that a lot of those risks they otherwise face of infections and difficulty breathing, they don't face. And it also means that their life expectancy is extended. I think the research shows on average by 27 years, people with cystic fibrosis often die earlier than other people on average. So this is a radical new treatment, so it'll make a huge difference to those who suffer cystic fibrosis.
What was the process for treating cystic fibrosis before? Was it just self-funded before, and why has it taken this long to just be funded now?
I don't know the full detail of the treatments. There were other pharmaceutical treatments. Sort of dealt with symptoms more than dealt with the underlying cause, which is whereas Trikafta deals with kind of the underlying cause. Obviously, and a lot of those pharmaceuticals were funded. Likewise, the hospital treatment that was pretty frequent for cystic fibrosis sufferers. The Trikafta as a pharmaceutical product has been on the market for a small number of years, I think probably 2 or 3 years. So it hasn't been around a long time. The way Pharmac makes procurement decisions, a supplier has to make an application to them. They don't necessarily go out securing treatments proactively. Suppliers come to them, and then they basically enter a set of negotiations. Pharmac identified Trikafta as a drug they thought would be very useful, and they put it on the options for funding list. The options for funding list is a list of treatments that Pharmac thinks are worth considering, but they don't have the funding available at the time to be able to fund them. As a government, we've put a lot more money into Pharmac over the last 5 years, including this year we put a further top-up in, and that's enabled Pharmac to procure a lot more treatments. They came to me a couple of months ago with a deal with Vertex that covered Trikafta and some cancer treatments, and they did require a little bit of extra funding assistance in the longer term to be able to close the deal, and we provided that, and they closed the deal, and New Zealanders will now have access to Trikafta. So that's the way that works.
A high court in Auckland ruled that doctors can make the medical decisions for a baby at the centre of a case about blood from donors vaccinated for COVID-19. Is this common where the government needs to intervene when a child requires medical attention and the parents refuse?
It's quite rare, actually. And I think that the unfortunate thing is here, of course, parents want to do the right thing for their kids, and these parents are no different. They've got an infant child, a baby, who needs serious surgery, heart surgery, and if the baby's going to have a better chance of living a longer life. But these parents have a view about the use of certain blood products in their surgery that they're not comfortable with. There's a question about their information base and all the rest of it. In the end, doctors treating any patient, but certainly children who don't have decision-making capacity, they've got to think very carefully about the best interests of the child. And sometimes you get this, or very rarely, you get the situation where a parent's thinking is contrary to the best interests of the child. And if the parent can't be persuaded, then one option is for the medical professionals, or the hospital in this case, Te Whatu Ora Health New Zealand, to go to the court to get guardianship rights so they can make those medical decisions for the baby. That's what's happened here. But it is very rare. There are other situations in which sometimes the state, through other branches of government, or go to the family court and get guardianship rights. Sometimes Oranga Tamariki, or Oranga Tamariki does that a lot actually, where children are not being looked after by parents or caregivers, and there needs to be some sort of intervention. But when it comes to medical treatment, it is very rare to have a situation like this.
Obviously, some in a situation like this, it had time to go to the courts, but if there was a situation where the child needed emergency care straight away and the parents refused, are there any sort of laws around that to make sure the child could get the attention that it needs?
There are, in extreme circumstances, there are urgent procedures that a court can put in place, including, you know, making phone calls to the court registrar and a judge, where things could be done over the phone in a matter of, you know, a couple of hours, and interim orders could be made. I mean, as I say, in the most extreme circumstances, I'm not close to the detail of this case, except that I would expect that the court would have been kept informed of the health of the baby in this case, and if there was an indication that the baby was deteriorating, then I imagine the court would have acted urgently to make sure that it gave orders to allow the baby to be treated. I understand from news this morning that the parents are thinking about appealing. Obviously, the court would want to be kept informed about the baby's health and any decision made quickly, because as I understand it, but, you know, the treatment does need to happen fairly soon.
Also this week, you and Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern delivered the Crown apology to Maniapoto for its historic breaches of the Treaty of Waitangi. What were some of the examples of the breaches by the Crown?
I think two of the obvious ones. One horrific one, which was a place called Rangiawhia, which is just outside Te Awamutu, I think, I recall. I've been up there. a lot of Maniapoto were there in an area that was basically sheltering from Crown troops who were sort of warring with local iwi. And this was regarded as a sanctuary. There was a church nearby. It was a safe place for women and children. And Crown forces basically descended on Rangiawhia and started shooting at this area that wasn't part of a combat zone, and killed women and children, including from Maniapoto. That was the most horrific. I think other things, such as having reached agreement with Maniapoto chiefs over land in the Maniapoto and the King Country, and then basically just ignoring those agreements and just occupying the Crown, a large chunk of land to do whatever the Crown wanted, including building the main Trunk Railway. So having entered agreements, then completely ignoring those agreements. So it's sort of deceit and dishonesty like that. So those, and that led to a huge amount of land loss for Maniapoto. So those are obvious things, and I think what, as minister, treaty minister, what I discover is those things, they create such a deep distrust of the Crown and of the government, and that gets passed down to the generations. And so that's why it's so important for the Crown on these occasions to front up, to lay bare what it has done wrong and apologise for it and atone for it. And it changes the relationship and then tries to get the relationship on a more positive footing so that we can all face the future together.
As well as an apology, will there be any sort of physical or financial compensations for Maniapoto?
Yeah, so the redress is $177 million. And some of that is the rights to purchase land, so that funding would be used to purchase particular properties and what have you. So yes, there's a financial and land aspect to it.
That was Steve R. Clifton chatting to Health Minister Andrew Little.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.